So I'm a slightly unusual title this week. I'm doing Acts 4 and 5, and the title is Standing, which is slightly ironic because every single one of us, including me, of course, are seated. But such is life. I love, the choice of songs this morning. I did like the sort of middle song particularly. It's more my style, but I like the other ones as well. And I do find that sometimes I can worship from the most bizarre songs. Sometimes I can worship from songs that aren't even Christian songs. So in the past, I've worshipped and I've actually preached from the song Help by the Beatles, which I found was a really, for me, a prayer, sitting in a car when I was feeling particularly, down one day. On Friday night, we spent some time with Ed and Sue in the garden around a fire pit wrapped in blankets. And Nikki commented that it was a bit like a scene in the musical Joseph. We very quickly went from those Canaan days to singing those COVID days, which kind of fitted quite well. And we did look like that scene from the musical. You should probably think yourself lucky that we're not in the hall because. The title today is Standing, and I'm guessing I probably would have asked the music team who were on that day to sing the song Hallelujah, Praise the Lord, which we all end up standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down. So you've all got that to be grateful for today, the blessings of Zoom, that we're not doing that this morning. But I have got the inspiration for part of my preach, at least, or a large part of it, from another song, and I will play just an excerpt of that shortly. But first of all, I want to read some of the scriptures. So Acts 4, I'm reading from the Message. So starting at verse 1. While Peter and John were addressing the people, the priests, the chief of the temple police, and some Sadducees came up, indignant that these upstart apostles were instructing the people and proclaiming that the resurrection from the dead had taken place in Jesus. They arrested them and threw them in jail until the morning, for it was late in the evening. But many of those who listened had already believed the message, in round numbers, about 5,000. Now, when I read this, I guess Peter and John had been addressing the people, and they'd been pretty successful. In round numbers, around 5,000 had heard and believed the message. So, not a bad start, I'd suggest. And I'm guessing that they were feeling pretty good with themselves. Well, that was until the Sadducees and the Jobsworths, you don't want to do it like that, people of the time came along with their big hats and their loud mouths and their big sticks, and they threw them in jail. Verse 7 goes on, it says, they stood Peter and John in the middle of the room and grilled them. Who put you in charge here? What business do you have doing this? With that, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, let loose. Rulers and leaders of the people, if we have been brought to trial today for helping a sick man, put under investigation regarding this healing, well, I'll be completely frank with you. We've got nothing to hide. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who you killed on the cross, the one God raised from the dead, by means of his name, this man stands before you, healthy and whole. Jesus is a stone you masons threw out, which is now the cornerstone. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one. Well, I couldn't take their eyes off them. Peter and John standing there, totally confident. So sure of themselves. And when they realized that these two men had no training in scripture, no formal education, they must have been livid. I can't imagine what it felt like for them to have spent all that time studying the word and have two young whippersnappers come in and tell them where they were going wrong. They recognized them as companions of Jesus, but with the man right before them that they had been, sorry, with the man right before them that had been him standing there so upright, so healed, they couldn't say an awful lot against that. Verse 18 tells us they gave them a stiff talking to, or words to that effect. So they called them back and warned them that they were on no account ever to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. So what did Peter and John do? Well, they came right back at them. They said, whether it's right in God's eyes to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. As for us, there's no question. We can't keep quiet about it, what we've seen and heard. And so Peter and John went on their way with the big chief still wagging their fingers. They told their friends who told their friends, and they all worshipped together. They shared everything so no one was needy. They sold stuff and distributed the funds amongst those most in need. They were like biblical teenagers. They went around doing stuff, healing people, meeting needs. And when they were told not to, they responded with, well, whatever, loser, or whatever the first century equivalent was. They took their stand and no one was going to get in their way. Now, when I think about this scripture and when I thought about it, God started to speak to me. And in my own style, I thought I'd look at it and take us on a bit of a journey. So the first point is this. They took their stand and no one was going to get in their way. How do you get in the way of someone if they stand still? Was the question I asked myself. If you think about it, it doesn't matter where you stand. If the other person is not going anywhere, you're not in their way. Standing, therefore, can't be about standing still. It has to be about movement. So here we go, off into my mind about standing. When I think of the word stand, I'm reminded of a song that came from my youth. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, a song that we used to sing. And I'm going to just share it with you now, just the first part of it. Okay, so that's a song from my past. I love the dancing in that. It reminds us being in church in the 80s as well, if we're honest. But the words of that song really speak to me. It starts off by saying, stand in the place where you live. Now face north, think about direction, wonder why you haven't before. Direction is about movement, not standing still. It then says, now stand in the place where you work. See, standing in the place where you live, stand in the place where you work. It's not about one place or location. Stand's about everywhere you are. And unless you can transport yourself between locations, you have to move between them. If you are confused, check with the sun. Carry a compass to help you along. Well, I'm going to use a bit of creative license here. The words in the song are sun, spelled S-U-N. But for today, let's pretend it's S-O-N. Check with the sun. And instead of a compass, well, we've got the Bible. So your feet are going to be on the ground. Your head is there to move you around. And the Bible teaches us that we're the hands and feet and that Jesus is the head. We're here on the ground and Jesus is there to move us around. Now, that song clearly isn't a worship track. It's definitely not Graham Kendrick. It's by a band called REM. And REM is short for rapid eye movement. Rapid eye movement is a part of a normal sleep pattern. Before it comes three stages of non-REM sleep. You have the doze, where you're kind of aware of what's going on around you. You know, the I'm just resting my eyes stage that we all pretend. Then you've got the light sleep, where you can be easily woken. And finally, the deep sleep, where your body repairs itself. And it's the deep sleep where if you're awoken, you're completely disorientated. And it maybe takes a minute or so to have any idea of where you are or what's going on around you. There, that's the time, if you wake someone up, to get your phone out and film them. Film, you know, I filmed Nick when she's in this stage, and it, frankly, it's comedy gold. But the next stage that comes after it is REM sleep. And it lasts around 90 minutes. Okay, you start to top up your sleep, and you enter, after 90 minutes of non-REM, the REM territory. And this is the period of sleep where you dream. Your brain is more active. It's where if you wake up in this stage, you then can't get back to sleep. You know, sometimes if you wake up in the night and you're disturbed and you wake up and your mind is really active, that's where you've been woken during the REM stage. It's the bit where your brain is stimulated. Now, research published in the Journal of Neuroscience found that people who spend more time in REM sleep, more time dreaming, had a lower fear-related brain activity the next day. So how does that relate to us? Well, I believe that if we are coming out of a period of sleep, the church is coming out of a period of sleep. The church has been asleep, it needs to wake up, and it needs to stand. We need to have dreams and visions, though, so that we can know what direction we're going in. We need to face our fears. We need to roll with the punches and keep moving forward to establish and witness what God has shown us. For me, standing is not about standing still. It is about standing for a cause, standing for the kingdom of God, standing in the gap for the least. Peter and John stood firm. They didn't have their arms crossed. We're not going anywhere firm, but stood firm in a desire to make God known, stood firm in the advancement of the kingdom. Why? Because they had seen the kingdom outworked through Jesus. They had a vision, a dream that they were going to see outworked no matter what and no matter who told them to stop. So my second point is you need to start dreaming. And if you don't know what direction to go in, ask God to show you. Ask God to give you those dreams, those visions, something to grasp hold of. For the last 5 weeks, the men in our small group have been meeting separately from the ladies. We've met during the small group week, and we've met during the week off and during week one in addition to the prayer meeting. Sometimes we've sat in a garden eating donuts around a fire pit as the sun goes down, and sometimes we've met on Zoom when it's been raining. And next week, or this week coming, I suppose, we've got a plan to possibly hire those electric scooters and go on a bit of a road trip around the city. Why? Frankly, because we can. But here's the thing. We've not just met to mess around. We're quite capable of that anytime. We've met to intentionally follow a teaching program by Bob Goff called Dream Big. It involves us watching a short video and then asking questions of each other. And it's been amazing. Not just because the teaching's great, but because we've been honest with each other in the conversations that have followed. We've been vulnerable and we've supported each other. The first week we talked about ambitions. What were our ambitions? Initially, the responses were a bit, oh, I don't know, really. I don't really have any ambitions. But then as things got going during that conversation, we realised that we all had ambitions. We found out that some people wanted to learn instruments that they'd had for so long. The notes were pentatonic. Others write songs and others write preaches. Who knew that Adrian wanted to be a ballet dancer? Okay, so I made that bit up. But here's the thing. Once we'd identified what our dreams were, there was no stopping us. Within 2 weeks, there were songs written and performed. People waving preachers they'd written on the screen and instruments dusted off. If you ask God to identify your dreams, when you know what they are, blow them up. I don't mean with explosives, but make them bigger. And then stand. Face them head on and get moving towards them. Sure, you're going to get knocked back. So stand back up and get moving again. Peter and John knew the direction they were going. They were challenged by the Sadducees who knew the law. The difference, the reason that Peter and John didn't back down wasn't because they were arrogant hoodlums. It's because they understood why they were going. They stood their ground when challenged about what they were doing because they understood why they were doing it. So standing's about movement. You need to know what direction to travel in, and so that you can stand firm in that direction, you need to know why you're going. Acts 5 tells us of how the apostles continued preaching and teaching. They ended up thrown into jail. During the night, an angel opened the jailhouse door and let them out. What did they do? They went straight back to preaching and teaching in the temple, and they got dragged back before the high council. And when challenged, they simply said, "It's necessary to obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, the one you killed by hanging him on a cross. God sent him on high at his side, Prince and Saviour, to give Israel the gift of a changed life and sins forgiven." And we're witnesses to these things. The Holy Spirit, whom God gives to those who obey him, can collaborate every detail. They absolutely knew why they were going, what they were doing. And even after being locked up, released, locked up again, set free, beaten, they never let up teaching and preaching. They knew they were called. They knew what they were called to do, and they knew why. Church, let's be a church that stands firm in our direction of travel, a direction that sees us outwork the dreams and visions that God gives us. Dreams and visions that God gives us because they outwork his purposes. Let's not be a church that stands still. Let's not be a static echo of what might have been, a festering church desperate to itch its bedsores from lack of travel and lack of movement, or a church that moves so easily distracted by the way other people look at us. We're distracted by the naysayers who heckle from the sidelines, a church that ends up wandering around like a lost dog desperate to have its belly rubbed. We're not called to be like that. We're called to be the hands and feet of God, moving towards Jesus, moving forwards with Jesus as our head, with Jesus setting our direction. So come on, let's get going.